Okay, so my text is Hosea 10, verse 12. So you have righteousness and so on, break up and plowed ground, the fallow ground. But here's the text, really. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes. He showers righteousness upon you. But there's my text. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes. And tonight is really the fruit of my quiet time. I hope you have a regular quiet time where you read the Bible kind of with some sort of system, some sort of pattern. And I was reading Hosea 10. And then same day I was reading Psalm 63, which basically is about the person who is thirsting, longing for God. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land. And I was having read Hosea 10 as well, it's time to seek the Lord. And I just thought, yeah, yes, chapter 10, there's a lot about judgment in it. The Lord says, when I'm ready, when I please, I bring judgment. But here's the great verse 12, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes. In Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land. Let me just ask it to start. I don't want to insult you, but let me ask it to start. Do you know anything about what that fellow's talking about in the psalm? My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. When I was a young Christian and traveling around Wales, doing a lot of work in schools and colleges and stuff, I came across a little group who were publishing a kind of monthly pamphlet, skinny little pamphlet, in Welsh, and though my Welsh was hopeless, I managed to understand most of it. There was a little article in there, and it was a great article because it was called Ceisio Duw, Seeking God, and it wasn't targeting unbelievers. It was reminding the church that Christians are to seek God. Now, we don't hear much of it at all today. We have seeker-sensitive services for unbelievers, great, but it's the Christians who are to seek God. Isaiah 25, this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This God is the God we are to seek. You remember a few months ago, I think I shared that William Booth, right at the end of his life, at the kind of beginning of the 20th century, was asked how we saw Christianity in 100 years' time, our era. And one of the things he said, he could picture Christianity without Christ. Well, if that's what he said, I think he's pretty close to being spot on. You can go through the motions, can't you? Well, not only can you, you do. Hebrews 10 talks about spurring one another on. Do you do that? Are you known? Are you noted? Spurring others on? Remember in Philippians 3, how Paul, an apostle, a saved man, says, I press on. Well, that doesn't make sense to lots of modern Christians. Well, you don't. You need to press on, you're already there. You've got your ticket, you got your passport to paradise. Well, I remember a few years ago, no, actually, not a few, maybe 25 years ago, I'd heard that a Christian I knew had collapsed in the street. And a few days later, I was in the city of Swansea and I bumped into him and I said, oh, I'd heard that you were unwell. Oh, he said, I was only dehydrated. I collapsed. They took me to hospital, they gave me fluids. And I said, did you know you were dehydrated? No, you had no clue, no. And so there was a man in desperate need of water and not realizing it. And spiritually, you get that, don't you? That the Lord may see you tonight in as somebody who really should be thirsty, and you may not feel thirsty at all. You remember in Job, in chapter 22, where one of those miserable comforters tells Job, look now, God is up there, you are down here. Even if you seek him, does it make any difference to God? Whether you love him or not, it doesn't make any difference to him because he's up there and you are down here. I hope you can see that that's a lot of codswallop. You know, that God should love you so much and not care whether you love him. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? I listened to on my MP3 the other day to a fella, very able guy and very famous actually. He was very cleverly in his sermon putting memory foam cushions under the consciences of his congregation. He was basically trying to say to them, look, there are times when you get a bit down in the dumps about your witness, not you. There are times you get a bit down in the dumps, a bit depressed about your Bible reading. There are times when you're very disappointed with your prayer life. And he was basically saying, chill out, God still loves you. Then what do you think of that? The only thing I can say without getting very angry, what I think of that. See, there's been the shift, I said last week or the week before, from virtues to values, where values is what's important to me. It's all about me. And in my Christian lifetime, 30 years, God willing, if I make it to August, it'll be 30 years preaching. And, you know, what we've got is that kind of mindset of me, has almost swamped the church, where you mustn't feel bad, you mustn't get down about your sin, you mustn't get down in the dumps and depressed about the spiritual state of the nation. And yet, when some years ago, when I asked a missionary working in the Middle East about Christians they knew, you know anybody on fire? Yes, we met some. I said, oh, where are they? Can you tell me their names? Oh, none of them are in the UK. And yet we're not to get depressed and down in the dumps about it. In Hosea, the Lord allows the prophet the painful privilege of being able to feel the Lord's pain when he sees the persistent prostitution of his people. He's allowed, an insight into how God must feel when he sees his people behaving as they do. Because Hosea's married Gomer and she doesn't change. She's a prostitute all the time. This is how the Lord says, this is how my people treat me all the time. There are lots of warnings about days of reckoning coming and so on, but my text is a great text. Sow for yourselves righteousness, whatever that means. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes. In other words, to summarize what surrounds my text, do whatever you can to seek the Lord till he comes. It's just like Mark 14. Remember the lady who anoints Jesus there, and Judas and some of the others are saying, well, this perfume was very expensive, mate. And Jesus immediately says, you know what this woman has done is going to be written down and people are going to remember it wherever the gospel is proclaimed, because, and here's the thing, she did what she could. And so what I'm saying tonight is, will you do what you can to seek the Lord till he comes? I'm not asking you to do what you can't. Will you do what you can to seek the Lord till he comes? In Joel chapter 1, we've got a crisis. These locusts, an army of locusts has come in. And the question is asked, has anything like this ever happened in our lifetime or in our parents' lifetime? And immediately, as I was reading it this week, I thought, well, here's topical, isn't it? This is topical. This COVID-19, okay, it's called 19 because somebody knew about it, I guess, last year. But we didn't, at least I didn't. Has anything like this ever happened with lockdown? No. And in Hosea, it goes on in chapter 11, such a spiritual crisis compared to today, I think, where the Lord says, and you know, the more I called my people, the further away they went. And even though they were, inverted commas, worshipping in Gilgal, the Lord says, you know, in Gilgal, I hated them there, hated them. What, hated the Philistines? No, not those, they were the enemy. Or the Ammonites? No, they were the enemy. I hated my own people there because of what they called worship. I don't take what you give lightly, we son. Really? Is that true? Is that true of you? Could you just sing that? Could you just sing it without thinking? Or were you cut to the heart? Or did you just say, oh, well, there we are, that's the way it is. Yeah. I mean, would you, I read yesterday, the scourge of average Christianity. Are you average? And are you bothered about being average? Perhaps you're not even average. Does it keep you awake at night? Jolie Richardson is a famous film actress. She said about Christianity, this is what she said about people like me, I suppose. Those Christians who say my way is the only way are alarming. I just think, what do you want, Jolie? About the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. What do you want? Vagueness? Waffle? Uncertainty? What do you want? When Jesus says, I'm the way, as we heard this morning, I am the truth, that settles it. All answers are not the same in maths, are they? 9 sevens are not 62. They're 63. They're always going to be 63. And if you put in your test, you know, 9 sevens, 62, and say you're pretty close, yeah, you're pretty close, but you're wrong. Jesus is the only way. How certain are you that he's the only way? Reading the Bible is not the way. Praying is not the way. Reading good Christian stuff or listening to good songs on YouTube is not the way. It's Jesus is the way. And therefore it's to him we have to return. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes. Not just time to put a spurt on in church. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes. What's going to happen in Hosea's day? The northern kingdom is going to vanish. The southern kingdom is going to be shunted off into Babylon, and only a remnant will return. And even that remnant, one empire after another afterwards, for centuries, will put the boot into this remnant of Judah. And so the Lord sends Hosea to plead, or do all you can. Do all you can to seek the Lord. Do all you can. Will you do that? See, I watched again on YouTube last week, the 400 meter women's hurdles final in the Olympic Games 1992. I watch it for a reason. Sally Gunnell wins, and I remember it. And it's a wonderful, it's a terrific race because they're neck and neck, her and Sandra Farmer Patrick, for 390 meters, they're neck and neck. And Sally Gunnell just wins. And they interviewed her when she'd recovered, and they asked her, what's going through your mind as you went over that last hurdle? And she just said, I just said, whatever it takes, Sally, whatever it takes. That's my message tonight. Will you say, I'm going to seek the Lord, whatever it takes, till he comes. Great song in the 80s by Peter Gabriel, don't give up. Will you seek the Lord till he comes? How long to seek the Lord? Well, till he comes. Till he comes and rains righteousness down on you, your little life, and revives the little circle where you are, and revives our land. As Johnny was saying to me the other day, I think the 18th century was very much like this before the revival, but there were people who got serious with the Lord. Are there any today? Will you be one of them? You know, John Bunyan warned, there's many a preacher in hell who warned others to avoid it at all costs. Now that is terrifying. I think he's right. Do you remember 1904? A revival began. R.B. Jones from Porth in the Rhondda and all the way up to Llandrindod Wells, bit of a trek in those days. He wanted to meet one man. He found out where the man was lodging. He banged on his door. The man was F.B. Meyer, from preacher from London, and he asked him one question. He asked him a question. F.B. Meyer said, what do you want? And R.B. Jones said, I want the Holy Spirit. And F.B. Meyer said, then take him. Simple as that. In other words, you want him? Go and get him then. Seek him then. Seek the Lord till he comes then. What does the church need today? The reality of the Holy Spirit in its midst. What does our land need? The reality of the Spirit of the living God. I read in Matthew 13, parable of the sower and so on, Jesus says, blessed are your eyes. And I just have to stop and deal with God right there and never. I don't care if I never finish the rest of the passage here, because this is something right to you and to me. Blessed are your eyes, because what you see. And I just thought, well, this is tremendous, isn't it? Blessed, I should say I've been blessed. And I could just stroll through my life looking at all the amazing things that God has blessed me with. Blessed. And I was reminded of the Sky at Night anniversary 60 years, a couple of years ago, and how they stood and faced the camera and said, you know, with all the dark energy and the dark matter, we've got to be honest, you know, 95% we don't know. I was thinking, you don't know. But the mystery of all mysteries, it's the mystery of the universe, we sang. The mystery has been revealed to me. To me. Has it been revealed to you? The mystery of the universe has been revealed to me. Why? Grace. Some of you, I hope, looked at that little clip with Sproul the other day, where he's talking about the seriousness of Adam's sin, and how the vast congregation there laugh. And Sproul in his anger says, what's the matter with you people? But what was the matter with them? They reformed evangelicals, I guess. They got it all in their heads, but their hearts largely untouched. Is that you tonight, still? I always remember a student in the Christian Union saying to me, yeah, we got to be careful or see that, you know, we can feel guilty. But you are guilty, man. You are guilty. Remember another student after Clyde Briggs had shown on a student camp, had shown three women in Indonesia were convicted for running a Sunday school. They were in court and somebody had smuggled a secret camera in. The judge was terrified. He was sitting there because there were these three women on trial for their lives, and the whole courtroom was a baying mob shouting to hang these women. And the women wouldn't budge. They stood their ground. For Christ's sake. And afterwards, I was so fired up because it was such a powerful, miraculous display of the glory of God in these three women's lives. So I thought I'd pick the best student, but I didn't want to be discouraged. So I found this guy. He's a lovely guy. He'd been, you know, if there was a star of there, it would have been him. And I caught up with him and I said, can I just ask you, you know, that video clip we just saw now, what did you think? Do you know what he said? Well, from what point of view? From what point of view? Then there's these three women surrounded by people who just wanted to rip them into pieces, and they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't budge. Now, why was that student as he was? Well, from what point of view? You know why? Because for people like some of you, Jesus is a hobby. He's an interest, an enjoyable pastime, like golf or tiddlywinks or knitting or whatever. But there's no passionate relationship between you and Jesus. Oh, grace is nice, but it doesn't amaze you, does it? It amazed those three women, that's why they could stand. Why is there such a chronic lack of reality in our churches? That's why you need to read people like Tozer and listen to people like Johnny Erickson. Psalm 69, the man says, save me, O God, for the waters are up to my neck. Do not let the pit close its mouth over me. Here's a man who's desperate. And when he's spared, he's amazed. Amazing grace, how sweet to say. Amazing grace. Does it amaze you? Has it ever amazed you? If so, when? And if it doesn't amaze you now, and it did one time, why is that? And what are you going to do about it? See, the new life must be fed. You've got to feed the new life. You know, I met a guy, I worked with him on a camp, oh, dear me, 28 years ago, I don't know, yeah, it must be a long, long time ago. And we had tremendous fellowship. He loved the Lord. He really was, he had a close relationship with God. And then I hadn't seen him for years, and I bumped into him about 4 or 5 years ago. And because I hadn't seen him for ages, first question I asked is, how are you doing with the Lord? And his answer was, I've gone backwards. Well, why? Why? How did that happen? Oh, at least he was honest. And maybe you were prepared to be honest tonight and say, oh, I've gone backwards, I'm not where I ought to be. You know, in Amos chapter 5, I'm getting near the, well, I just finished Amos this morning. In Amos chapter 5, the Lord says about the meetings of these believers, I hate, I despise, I cannot stand. You wouldn't miss what he's saying. I hate, I despise, I cannot stand your gatherings. I cannot stand your assemblies. Away with the noise of your songs. Saying, hang on, but we've sung some great songs tonight, have we? We've sung some great songs tonight. But now to live the life. Lord, in all thy power and glory, still thy thoughts and eyes are here. God willing, in a minute we sing, there must be more than this. Do you want more? I mean, more for you now. Not them, whether they are, but you want more for yourself. Do you want to go on? Do you want to please the Lord? Then seek me and live, Amos 5, or my text in Hosea 10. Do whatever you can, do whatever it takes to seek the Lord till he comes. And in those snippets that Anne put on the website, where Tozer talks about the hungry soul, a thirsty Christian, will never be put off with mere words. There are people who are just happy with words. But no, says Tozer, we want God. We're not thirsty for more words. We're thirsty for the Lord. Are we? Do you want to be thirsty? Again, some of Tozer's prayers in that book, you know, when he says, oh, I thirst to be thirstier still. Well, that's a great prayer, isn't it? So, what about you then? 1 Chronicles 17, David said, Lord, who am I? He was amazed. Who am I? Psalm 84, better is one day in your presence, in your house. Really? Do you know anybody who leaves you with a strong impression they know God? If you know anybody like that, then get in touch with them, spend time with them, listen to them. Or if you don't know anybody like that, then there are plenty of former saints on the internet, or their books, listen to them, read what they've left behind. It's time to seek the Lord. In the end, reading about them and listening to them will not help you unless you seek God, though. See, all you get is you'll feel a bit better and you'll have more knowledge in your head. But that's not it. You know, some years ago in Wales, there was a large whale washed up, beached, a beach whale. And they came and they tied ropes under it and they tried to dig the sand and so on. And they could not budge this poor whale. They were desperately trying to keep it alive. And then, wonderfully, the tide came in. No problem now. Effortlessly, the whale swam back out to sea. And you know, we need God to come. You need him. I need him. Is it possible for you to be revived? Yes, it is. In Hosea 14, he says, the Lord says, you know, I'll heal your backsliding and I'll do it freely, freely. Could that be you, revived? Then it's time to seek the Lord till he comes. Let me just close with this. I've read it dozens of times before. Maybe you've heard, perhaps you could almost mouth the words with me. This is a letter sent by one of the early American missionaries, Adoniram Judson, just to ask for the daughter of this Christian couple to be married to him and to go into missionary work. Now, just listen to the words, right? Don't just say, oh, yeah, yeah. Listen to it and pray somehow that you'll be able to write something like this. And so, here we are, okay? Can you consent to part with your daughter next spring? To see her no more in this world, and they never did, incidentally, right? To see her no more in this world, to every kind of hardship of missionary life, perhaps even violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you? Can you consent to all this in hope of meeting her in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness brightened by shouts of praise echoing to her Saviour? That could be you. You think that could be you. But I can't make you. I can't make me. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes. Could he change me that much? Yeah, he could. He could. We're all, by nature, absolutely useless. Seek the Lord till he comes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this great text. If you've spoken to us, we praise you. We thank you. If we're just not taking any notice, Lord, then please show mercy, whether you frighten us or whether you woo us, but don't let us just fritter it all away. Please forbid that we would just let this opportunity slip through our fingers again. Hear our prayers, you're a wonderful God, and your Son is a beautiful Savior. Amen. Amen.